Atheist Nomads, episode 379. Maybe we get a reasonable adult?
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And this week's episode is going to be pretty damn close to live to tape, meaning I'm not going to be editing.
Meaning he's drunk.
No, I'm not.
Wish you were drunk.
I wish I was drunk, yes. I would actually say I wish I was still drunk.
Yes, we are recording Wednesday night.
Yep.
So we still don't know who president-elect is going to be. And it's finger biting here.
Yeah, yeah. And
a part of me doesn't care because I don't pay attention to things until the very last second. Basically, don't talk to me until it's called. Then there's the other part of me that realizes that over 6 million people voted for Trump so far, and I don't know if I can live on this world anymore.
Did you say 6 million?
Over 6 million?
67,993,739.
That's right. Okay. 66 million. Half the country is voted for Trump, and that makes me want to not live on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah. There are, of course, still more votes being counted. At this point, and we're recording this Wednesday night at about 8 p.m. Mountain Time. As of this point, yeah, nearly 68 million votes for Donald Trump compared to 71.5 million votes for Joe Biden.
I do believe it's called, what's it called? The sunk money fallacy.
Mm.
Where you've already put in so much effort into something, you can't go against it now because you've already... So people who are pro-Trump were all so into it.
Sunk cost. Yeah.
Yeah, they can't pull out now. Yeah, you could.
It's so much worse than that, which we will get to later.
Yes.
No, it's... As it's looking at this point, Joe Biden will be president. Democrats will still be in control of the House, and Republicans will still be in control of the Senate.
And that's where the headache is.
If Mitch McConnell pulls his Obama-era bullshit, then nothing will happen.
And Trump-era bullshit.
If he takes it a step further, Biden won't even be able to appoint a cabinet.
Yep, just so you all know who the real enemy is, Democrat or Republican, it's Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Right now. He's so anti-American in what he is doing. The idealism of the vote, of democracy, it's all gone because of this guy.
And to put it in some blunt terms, the war on terror granted a lot of extra power to the president. So George W. Bush had more power than Bill Clinton did because of the war on terror, the Patriot Act and all of that. Barack Obama had more power than George W. Bush did because Mitch McConnell prevented him from doing anything the right way.
Right. So he had no choice but to do presidential
executive orders.
Which, of course, everybody faulted him for. He was put in a tough spot because of Eminem.
And a prime example of that would be Obama deploying U.S. troops in the fight against ISIS in Syria. There was no congressional authorization for that. He pulled the bullshit that everybody knew was bullshit, that this was all under the original authorization to go after terror.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't. No, it was Congress was McConnell was giving him shit for not doing anything about ISIS, so he had to do something about ISIS, but McConnell wouldn't authorize any actions against ISIS, so he just did it. And now after 4 years of Trump, and Trump has run the country with acting heads of departments.
Yeah, he never even had a full cabinet.
And he hasn't bothered to get them confirmed, even though he'd have no trouble getting... Actually, some of his people, he still couldn't even get confirmed, even in McConnell's Senate. If McConnell keeps Biden from being able to appoint cabinet secretaries, then Biden will be forced to use acting secretaries.
And then what's even the point of having a way to set up a government at all? Why not just have it be totally random all the time? Because it doesn't matter because the rules aren't being followed anymore.
Right.
I'm tempted to just start writing letters to the Senate. Idaho's red, of course. It always will be. And they are obviously wusses under Trump. But if we can get them to at least kick McConnell off of the head stage, the head puppet, saying, okay, you know, listen, this guy's seriously compromised. For the sake of the GOP, you need to get him out of there.
For the sake of saving the union.
They don't care about the union.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they care about the GOP, the Republican Party, and the money.
But if they want a Republican Party, there needs to be a United States.
That's going
to
dry up if McConnell keeps acting like this weird, ugly old man baby.
Unfortunately, let's flip to the Senate page. Come on. 1.2 million people in Kentucky decided that what McConnell is doing is fine.
Yeah. I wonder if in Kentucky, because it is McConnell's home turf, that they are sheltered from a lot of what he's doing. Like, you have to hit up the liberal news sources to even see what's happening. Typical news doesn't follow Mitch McConnell like we do,
right?
So I can see how people may not even know what he's doing.
Well, and it's super common for states to not want to, like, one of the reasons why incumbents have a tendency to get reelected is because of the power they bring their states. A long-term incumbent has a lot of power. Mitch McConnell has...
He can write anything he wants into a bill to get it passed. And Kentucky knows that.
Mitch McConnell can stop the government, period.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah. And it would take...
For about 12 years.
It would take, depending on what the final count ends up being, 11 or 12 Republicans to go against him to keep him from being able to stop everything. And there aren't very many moderates left.
No.
In the Republican Senate.
And then the ones that aren't extremists are old hat. They're Jim Risch. He's literally falling asleep at the job. He has nothing to do except sit in on some meetings.
Yep.
He's just... constantly let Idaho down, and is whatever, he's there for life. He doesn't care. As long as he can be an incumbent with an R on the ballot, he's in there.
He got, Jim Risch, got 533,000 votes.
What does that mean?
62%.
Okay.
Paulette Jordan only got 285,000.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. This all just really sucks.
I don't see it as being any different from the past 4 years.
The big difference is
I can't be depressed about it because I'm too apathetic about it. Yeah.
What's different is if he gets it, then it's not that it's going to, it'll be different than the last 4 years because we will have someone competent handling foreign affairs. It will be the same as the last 4 years because nothing will get through Congress. The ability to run and staff the administrative state won't exist. And Trump has literally appointed a third of the judiciary.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of existential doom that people are suffering from right now, and that's okay because it is pretty bad. But when it comes down to it, you've got to do what you got to do to get by day to day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are like me and you prefer to ignore the problem because it's beyond your control anyway, that's one way of dealing with it. If you need to work through those feelings with the aid of alcohol or drugs, do it lightly. Don't hurt yourself. And if you're really pissed off, don't burn down buildings, don't riot, don't loot, run for office, even if you have no experience, because who cares?
And we still need to see what the end result ends up being. There are still chances that some of these races could change as more votes come in, since we still have a lot of votes that aren't in. And it sucks. One of the things that sucks with the Senate in particular, and why who is the majority leader really matters, is the majority leader has complete control over the calendar.
Yeah. And I really am surprised that even the Republicans should be able to see that nothing got done with McConnell at the head. And that's not good for anybody either.
He couldn't even get anything done. Like, they had 2 years of
Republican.
Full control of everything. And
they still didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Couldn't pass a stimulus bill.
When it was all Republican everything, that was before a stimulus. No. That would have been 2017 and 2018.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Right, because
before they had to deal with
they're
Nancy
blaming
Pelosi.
The Democrats for holding up the stimulus bill, even though it wasn't them.
So, yeah, this will be interesting.
I just hope that other countries are forgiving of us who are trying to for those Americans who decide to try to escape. Canada, be the nice guys that we know you are. Let a couple hundred thousand of us in over your borders. We'll be great.
My overarching take on this is that the American experiment has run its course. It had a good couple hundred years. Okay, it really didn't. Really, the American experiment has been a complete and utter failure. The slavery...
Every form of government everywhere has been, though. I mean, it's hard to say.
What I mean by the American experiment as the concept of this separate parties... Or not separate parties, because... Parties weren't even a thing at the point that the American experiment was coined. But the separation of powers and the shared power between the central and the more local governments, that structure with an electoral college to make sure that it was the states picking presidents, not the people, that structure is one that has never worked anywhere it's been tried.
Yeah.
Every country other than the United States that has tried it has ended up with a military dictatorship.
And man, we're close.
Yeah.
Because what happens if McConnell plays his game with Biden? Biden will be forced to take on more presidential powers. And then the person who comes after Biden, let's say, is a megalomaniac military guru who decides to take over. Okay.
Yeah. It's... And this year has also really painted it in a picture of the concept of the United States as at the size that it is also crazy. We need a federal government that can simultaneously manage a global pandemic, an economic meltdown, wildfires in one half of the country, and hurricanes in the other half.
Yeah.
I don't think a country should need to be able to handle that.
It's too much, but that, which is why states needed more power, but states are messing it up. So it doesn't, I don't know. I throw my hands up in the air about it. It's just, all right, well, this isn't going to work. So let's try to survive the next 100 years. And
what I'm suggesting is maybe the United States just shouldn't be anymore.
I'm not saying that we should survive in the United States. I'm just saying that we need to just make sure that Kylie makes it and therefore our genetic line continues, and that's pretty much all we can count on.
One thing I've been thinking a lot about lately, and it's Cognitive Dissonance had an interview recently with Aaron Rabinowitz, I think was his name, about an experiment he did with a free speech Facebook group called Monster Island. And he described one of the most horrible people that was a part of that experiment, a part of that group, as a libertarian with fascist leanings.
Okay, so anybody within a couple hundred yards of you in Idaho?
And I also saw the same day on Reddit a link to a comic that was explaining the militarization and radicalization of men in particular that has created a lot of the modern militias and the Trump trains and the people who proudly wave black and white fascist flags. And those two reminded me of who I was at 21. And it was really crazy for me to look at that and realize that I am the kind of person who has been primed at numerous points in my life to where I could have easily become one of those MAGA heads. A lot of people on the left could very easily be on the right. Likewise, a lot of people on the right could very easily end up being on the left. And what's kind of crazy with that has been thinking back on, all right, so what was I thinking back then? Because when I was 21, or so, I would have most accurately identified myself politically as a, and I did actually identify politically as a libertarian with fascist leanings. That was a phrase that I actually used in several conversations to describe myself at 20 and 21.
You proudly claimed yourself as a fascist, huh?
A libertarian with fascist leanings, which is...
I can't imagine anybody wanting to own the term fascist in any way. That's a bad word. And
yeah.
But, oh well, people call themselves all sorts of things these days, so...
I was somebody who put on camouflage and played soldier every Tuesday night in Civil Air Patrol. I, at that point, had only ever fired a gun once, but was obsessed with guns and trucks. And the libertarian with fascist leanings concept is one that is real. In all practicality, it describes the modern... Well, everything we've gotten since the Tea Party on the right. It's this idea that government... It draws off of Reagan's government is the problem, not the solution. And so less government is always better. Well, if you have no government, then you have no defense. And especially if you're paranoid and on the right, you're concerned about defense. So you need somebody to be in command of the military. Otherwise, your country can't defend itself. So you need the strongman leader who can be in charge of foreign affairs and defense. But don't think that the U.S. or any central government needs to handle anything more than that. Then you also don't want the local government to do anything because they're just going to interfere with your business on your property.
Yeah.
And
when that was the case, it was called the Wild West, and it was not pleasant, mm-hmm. even though people loved to play cowboys. It was not a good time.
One of the concepts that I remember thinking was that welfare programs shouldn't be needed because that's what churches and families are for. You're hard up, see if your parents or aunts and uncles can help you out, or your church. I knew not everybody being a part of a church or having a family that would work out well for, and viewed that as a way to get more people into churches.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, if you have to go listen to a sermon to get a night's sleep or a bowl of soup, most people are willing to swallow their pride and do it.
And
people who don't go to church are obviously failed human beings anyway.
Yeah.
So they deserve it, right?
Right.
Right.
And so this kind of thinking, and it's so short-sighted because... Okay, even if you accept that all of that is valid, we need roads. And if you don't have a government to handle roads, then you have private companies that are going to be seizing land to build roads on. And
putting up tolls. And
charging tolls to drive on those roads. That's what you would have in
probably having security protection rackets so that you don't get banditoed on the way to work. Oh, man, it could be a whole thing. Dystopian future right there.
That'd be a libertarian utopia. Toll roads and protection gangs. No, that wouldn't just be a libertarian utopia. That'd be a libertarian wet dream right there.
Yeah.
Oh, but of course, you don't need the protection racket because everybody has a gun, so everybody can protect themselves from everybody else.
Yeah, like that's some kind of balance. There's some kind of balance there that...
It's insane. And what's scary is there are millions of people who think like I did when I was 21.
What pulled you out of it?
There was, okay, some of it was maturing. A lot of it was, there was a couple steps there. One of the biggest ones was losing my faith caused me to accept that everything I had learned and everything I believed could be and probably is wrong.
Hmm.
And so I went through a multi-year process of reevaluating everything. And if I couldn't justify it, if I couldn't justify a belief or a value, I had to change it. And I changed a lot of those.
So you became a skeptic.
I became a skeptic of myself.
Okay.
The biggest one that turned me around on the welfare state was being a manager. I had employees who had jobs because of welfare. Some of them were single moms who... Actually, the ones in particular were single moms who weren't able to pursue higher education because of getting pregnant as teenagers and needing to work. But to work, they needed daycare. And to get daycare while making $9.50 an hour living in the Puget Sound, you need somebody to pay for it.
Yeah.
and the state of Washington would pay for that daycare. And when I realized that the conservative idea that people don't need welfare, they need to get a job, there's a lot of people who can't get a job without welfare.
Yeah.
And also,
a little bit of empathy goes a long way there.
Yeah. And that started to be like, oh, shit. And we should also have cheaper higher education so that people can get better jobs so they can get off of welfare. And all of that started to shift.
But free higher education is socialism, so that's not going to fly. It's a cyclical, circular reasoning there.
So then I shifted eventually to viewing myself as a, by that point, a social liberal and a fiscal conservative who values a strong social safety net. And so by the time I moved to Idaho, that's how I viewed myself.
Okay.
Wanted to see a balanced budget, a strong safety net, well-funded education, and reasonable defense policy. Those were the things I looked at. And being at that point when I moved to Idaho resulted in me actually doing a split ticket ballot because some candidates on the for the Democratic Party weren't serious enough candidates to really put together much of a platform.
Yeah. Sometimes the party is just desperate to put somebody on the ticket and they just choose a random person. They don't have a platform. They don't have experience. They just...
It's been getting better. But at this, 10 years ago, it was definitely definitely like that. And then, yeah, I've continued to shift in my political views and am much more of a progressive Democrat now. And it's because the arguments from the progressive Democrats make more sense.
And statistically speaking, you're likely to become a red-blooded Republican by the time you're 60.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see.
I believe it has something to do with mental decline, but...
There is evidence to back that up.
Yeah, there's... It's also, once you're an empty nester, empathy for families goes out the window. Suddenly, it's about your wealth, and are you going to be able to make it till you die on the money that you have? Best way to do that is to not get taxed on it.
Yep. Yeah, and it's... It's weird to think about it as, like, I know when I held some of those, what I now view as absolutely abhorrent political beliefs, nobody could have argued me out of them, and people tried. I would probably still be a rabid conservative if I was still a Christian.
Having the power of God to back you up really bolsters your position in what you consider to be society, so.
Well, and when you, on top of that, when you... accept things by faith. You don't need evidence or justification or rational basis to support anything that any viewpoint that you have. You can just have it, and that's good enough.
Like the teacher that we were listening to the school.
Yeah.
She was running a meditation thing. All the kids were outside laying in the grass, and she's like, if you have a feeling, no matter how small, just an inkling, don't let chemistry get, you know, forget chemistry, forget physics. Believe in that feeling. And then Dustin and I are looking at each other like, what if that feeling is a crazy voice in your head telling you to go kill people?
Yeah.
Okay. According to this lady, that's real and should be listened to. No, you have a skeptical, reasonable mind that says, no, that's not right.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the larger political picture, the death of religion would fix a lot of it. We can definitely see from the existence of the alt-right that you can have far right-wing radical atheists. That is definitely a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
It's just a much smaller number.
Heck, a lot of them are pro-Trump.
Yeah.
Because Trump's not really religious.
Yep. But what a lot of what of the fervent support that Trump has from his base is very cultic and cultish, and that gets often called the cult of Trump.
And it just blows my mind because he's just so gross on so many levels. He's not attractive. He has a terrible personality. How?
He's a con man.
Yep.
Who has charisma.
I guess charisma doesn't always show up as good looks, huh?
Nope.
So gross.
Yeah. And in his case, he never needed good looks. He had money.
He wasn't unattractive when he was younger. He's just bloated and tanned and balded his way up to where he is now. Although I shouldn't judge somebody based on their looks. That's not fair. But sorry, Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump, they've got a painting hidden in an attic somewhere that shows their true evil form. And it's... Or maybe a young, handsome form. And they're actually, we're in the painting. Oh, man, that's deep. Oscar Wilde, you get it.
But the cult of Trump, when the leader falls, which will hopefully happen by January 21, the cult will also fail.
It was like, I just hope it'll be like a some sci-fi where like a mind control beam gets turned off and people are standing around dazed. They're going, I'm going to go home.
Yeah. with Mitch McConnell and the Senate, if Mitch McConnell were to fall from grace, don't know how he's held on to it. Most of those senators would become more reasonable again. Heck, even just Trump falling would cause most of those senators to become more reasonable.
The more people who are willing to cross the aisle to work with their compatriots, inspire an atmosphere of people working together. The mm-hmm. more people, all it takes is a few to stand on the outer edges and say, no, we will not make a deal to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah.
Especially when you put them in charge.
Yeah. With sole control over the calendar. So there is hope. Some of it's going to be very slow. Some can be very quick, but there is hope.
I am impressed at the news and people's general ability to ignore Trump right now. He's going off on Twitter like crazy. He's suing every state, it seems like.
Yep.
He's suing everybody, and everybody's just pretty much ignoring him. They recognize it as another Trump tantrum and are just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Get your lawyers, sue, do what you need to do. Next week, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Ugh.
All right. We have some news to talk about.
Oh. Sorry.
All right, so we're going to start off in the South. Louisiana Amendment 1 has passed.
I don't know what that is.
It puts in the Louisiana Constitution that there is no right to abortion.
Okay, that's dumb.
Yep.
But it's not about having a right to an abortion. That's not the point of the whole argument, but okay.
The exact wording that is going in is, nothing in this Constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... Louisiana decided they...
I mean, you will pay for it. You'll pay for it in emergency hospital visits. you're just paying for different outcomes.
Yeah.
So good for you guys. Hope you feel good about that one.
Well, they're just trying to get ready for when... Amy Coney Barrett writes a majority opinion in the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
And sticking with the South.
Because Amy Barrett has that much power right now. She can't overturn by herself.
No. But a 6-3 conservative majority in the U.S. Supreme Court does have the power to do that. And they would probably pick the one woman in their group to write.
Probably.
The majority opinion for that. And I'm sure she would want to.
Yeah.
Mississippi has approved its new flag.
Okay.
It passed in the referendum. So now Mississippi's flag is...
Pretty.
Pretty.
Still hasn't God we trust in it, but that, yeah. What doesn't these days? But at least no Confederate flag.
Yep, going from racially divisive to religiously divisive. Great. Way to go, Mississippi. Interestingly, Mississippi also approved medical marijuana.
Whole bunch of states did.
A whole bunch of states approved all kinds of things with marijuana.
And other drugs, for that matter.
Yeah.
Oregon's decriminalized hard drugs.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. That'll be quite the experiment.
The current experiment on that one would be... Portugal, which has done that for the last like 20 years.
I know, but that's within that's outside of the U.S. I mean,
yeah.
You throw things into the U.S. and you have no idea how it's going to turn out.
Oh, yeah. Rick Joyner is the pastor of Morningstar Ministries and someone we've had, one of the right wing blowhards we've had on audio from several times.
Oh, yay.
And I believe he's on Trump's evangelical circle jerk thing.
Okay.
In March, he was claiming that the U.S. and South Korea had the lowest COVID-19 rates because they're the two strongest nations in prayer.
Okay, wow.
Yep. South Korea. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He has now has COVID.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Jeez, what an ass.
So his church is asking for prayers
and money. They're asking for money.
Yeah, they're at least outright asking for prayers to help him through with COVID, as if his prayers aren't enough.
Yeah,
that God needs more prayers.
Right, because it's quantity, not quality.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was just a nice little chuckle.
Yeah.
One.
Yep. That's.
Yeah. God forgot to protect him.
Yeah, just a little brain fart, I guess.
Yeah, and of course he got the diagnosis right after preaching in a large maskless church service.
Yeah, people, I don't know how people don't get it. I mean, at this point, doesn't everybody know somebody who's caught COVID?
Yeah.
Now, I personally don't know anybody who's died from it, but I know people who've caught it, and it's not fun, and it's a terrible disease that's wiping out a whole subsection of humanity. But, you know, fake news.
Yep. All right. And we have feedback from some kind of monster at Naurajha, N-A-U-R-A-J-A on Twitter. Got the question. Will QAnon be the third great awakening? How sad would that be? Sadly, yes, that is what they want.
And much like the cult of Trump, if he loses this election, that will probably also die.
I think it might have grown enough to be able to survive that.
Well, I hope it dies, because it's dumb.
It really is. And from Interesting If True, the new podcast being done by the crew from Waiting for Wrath. You can find them on Twitter at Interesting If. Aaron wrote, getting caught up on Atheist Nomad, so should you. Episode 376, I feel you. The first time you get a top of the head sunburn, it is a depressing hair day for sure.
The worst of hair days.
Yeah. Yeah. That first time for me was 6 years ago, I think, and it was a surprise, and I have gotten much, much better about remembering to wear a hat when I'm out in the sun, which made me kind of start to forget it, and then
that explains that.
Yeah, I'd figured it was just some slow progression, and it had been slow progression. It just was surprising how much it had progressed. And that's gonna be it for this week.
Okay,
we've got a live stream coming up on Sunday
where we'll talk more about the election, I'm sure.
Yep. So check that out at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. The link will be available at atheistnomads.com/live. If you want to contact us, you can use the feedback form at you can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com. Use the contact form at atheistnomads.com/contact, or hit us up on somewhere.
And Randy, we need your address.
Yes, Randy, give us your goddamn address so we can ship out the books.
Because it's not like we could have shipped out the other books while we were waiting for Randy's address. Chirp, chirp. Yeah, okay. We'll get on that.
Yep. And if you want to support the show, you can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate. Thank you, Lauren, for taking a break from burying your head in the sand.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Now I have to go booze myself up just to get through the night, like an average American.
And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.